Yankin chiwitang itawahurangwa sage suayang ratanang panitam nano samangati tatagatina idam pibute ratanang panitam etina sacena suati hotu.
Exert yourself and cut the stream. Discard sense pleasures, Holy One. This is a monastic kind of reflection. But we shouldn't be deluded thinking that just because we're living this way, automatically some magic is going to happen and Bob's your uncle. So we have to exert. That means extra effort, not just go along with a formula and magic. Something's going to happen to your mind and you'll cut the stream. By cut the stream, it's chinda sotam parakama. Kame panuda is discard sense pleasure. Kame panuda brahmana. Exert yourself and cut the stream. Parakama means exert, like an exerted effort, extra effort. Not just, oh yeah, absent-mindedly, like a routine, or like you get stuck on, it has to be like this. Then we get tied up in rites and rituals. Exert and cut. Like you cut and you cut. You exert and you cut off what is binding us to the world. Discard sense pleasures. This is probably the most important line in these verses because it's the theme. Discarding sense pleasures. It doesn't sound very exciting. It's not about some exotic mind state or some unattainable mind state for most people because they're too busy. But what are they busy with? It's where the mind is going that creates the busy. And we believe that even here in the monastery, we also get busy with our projects. And as soon as we get up, we're excited to go and do our project. And we're rushing. Forget about, yeah, mindfulness at breakfast, gotta go and do my project. Go and play with the stones or get those trees watered, whatever it is. And these are good things, they're not bad. But if we're rushing in the future, if we're going to the next thing, we're not mindfully sipping our drink or putting the spoon into the mouth. We're thinking, we're in the future. And how many times do we do that? So cutting the stream is discarding sense pleasure, and sense pleasure can be as simple as a future activity because we enjoy it, we like it, and we want that. So there's the wanting which is not present, it's future, and it's involved in doing, so we're not paying attention to present moment activity, present moment engagement. Not letting sense pleasures go. Chinda sotam parakama. Kame panuda brahmana. Kame panuda is discard sense pleasure. Na paya muni kame. Not letting go sense pleasures. Ne katam upapajati. A sage or a wise one will not reach unity. Unity is nekatam, to be one with. But what it really means is present moment awareness. It's so simple. Can we be here? Can we be with? What is unity? It's to be with. We are with each other. We're together. Because we're close. We're sitting in one room. If we're in separate rooms, our minds might be together, not the body. But in this case, it's unity of the mind. It's having this presence that we're here. We're not somewhere else. We're not even thinking about the ones we love. But the best way to love is to be here, where we are. Not to be thinking. We can keep in our hearts those beings. We can bring them into the heart and do everything with them in the heart. But to think they're like that, oh, you know, with that kind of a, not present moment, but a worry or a sorrow or an ache, this is not helpful. The unification of mind is pure presence. And so if we are not discarding sense pleasure, pining, yearning to do the next thing that's going to be so exciting, whatever it is, then we're not in unity. That means we're not here, present moment, guiding the mind in where the body is and restraining or guarding the sense doors so that the mind does not lust. You might think, I don't have lust. But the wanting is already an egoic focus rather than a timeless, deathless presence. So what this verse says is really quite important. Can you let go sense pleasure? Well, I have no sense pleasure. I'm just eating breakfast. But how are we eating breakfast? Are we actually eating the breakfast? Or are we thinking about which reflections should I read? Or how many dishes will we have to wash? Or how long will it take before? This is thinking. It's such a simple jump to let go of the thinking mind and be in the present moment. And of course, the verses of protection, tayana, it sounds like to tie us to this moment. It's nothing about tying. But you could make that analogy. How can we shelter in the Dhamma? Not with ideas. Keeping precepts, so that means we guard the sense doors. And the activity of the mind is the culprit. It's underneath all those sense doors is that intention from wanting, from the ego pushing, compelling. And it's habit. This is the kama-making, the me-making. It goes on and on. We think we're on the path, but as long as we're thinking and not being aware, then the path is not complete. But as soon as we bring that awareness here, we have a bigger opportunity, a greater strength to reach unity. It's not a future thing, it's now. Kaira che kaira tenam. Vigorously with all one's strength. So I think that kind of energetic knowing, energetic presence, is with all one's strength doesn't mean physical. It means devotion, faith, intention, and engagement in this. It should be done what should be done. Dalam enam parakame. Again, parakama, parakame. That's how we're going to do what has to be done, is cut the stream. Cut the stream of akusala. Akusala is not restraining, not being in the moment. So, to cut the stream of akusala, that's a very high-minded or elevated, exalted kind of intentional presence. And this is the training of the mind. These verses seem to be aimed at the Muni, the Holy One. But we are, each one of us is a Holy One, if we can bring forth the holiness. But if we linger in thoughts, I'm no good, I can't do this, this is too hard, like that, that's ego making, me making, sitting on top of this mound of ignorance. But we don't have to sit there. We can get up from that. We can raise ourselves up with this kind of tayana. It's a protection. A lax life of practice stirs up. So, sitilohi paripacho, a lax way of practice, will bring forth other kinds of qualities. Bio akirate rajam. That means the one in charge, the king. So, it brings up the dust of passions all the more, like they sit on the throne of our life. No, we don't want those unformed, ignorant passions to take hold of our mind and rule how we live. But really, these verses are saying that if we live this holy life in a dusty way and we don't take care to unify ourselves in what we are actually practicing, if we live not caring for where the mind is dwelling, it's as simple as that. Even if we're doing all the formula right, but what is the state of the heart? Inattention. Then we're giving the passions, the dust of the mind, permission to cover up and blind us moment by moment. So that stirs up the dust in the heart. And this is true for all beings, all practitioners, all those who want freedom, who want joy and happiness. Akatam dukatam seyo. It is better not to do bad deeds. Pacha tapati dukatam. And you hear the word dukkha twice there. That afterwards would bring remorse. If we do something terrible, bad deeds, and we think, well, we don't do bad things, and that's wonderful that we restrain, we keep guard of our sense doors, we don't speak intentionally wrong, we don't do intentionally wrong, but sometimes we're not mindful, and we don't know that we've caused harm. But if we're really paying attention, then the dust of the passions does not fall down on us. So, akatam dukatam seyo, the seyo is staying away from, do not engage in harmful speech, action, or thoughts. We have a precept about not lying, but it also means not using harmful speech. It might be true, but why do we have to say something that will make somebody else feel bad? We try to use kind words or wait for the right time. But to use speech carelessly, it could be a dagger towards someone. When the leader of the Jains argued with the Buddha, I think he died of a heart attack right in front of the Buddha because he got so angry with the Buddha's words. The Buddha did never intend to harm him. He just told the truth. But he told it with so much power because he was Buddha. It says here, pacha tapati dukkatam. If we don't restrain, then afterwards we will regret it. Katancha sukatam seyo. We should train ourselves in that which brings joy and happiness. More accurately, rather good deeds one should do. But good deeds, goodness is formed through virtue. So to the purity of body, speech, and mind. So those who really practice the Dhamma begin to understand how we can abide in beautiful states of mind, and around us there could be a lot of sorrow. People come to us with their sorrow, like those people that wanted to come here and get counseling because their marriage was falling apart. Briefly, I talked to them on the phone. They were irreconcilable. But 4 years ago, they were madly in love with each other. How does it go from one extreme to another? Lack of wisdom, lack of awareness, lack of understanding, and lack of sense restraint. This is selfishness and the wanting mind. And then the sense realm is just like a jungle. It's a jungle. This is the world. But good deeds we should do. Yam katwa nanu tapati. And there it is again. That having done good deeds, we will not have regret. Na nutapati, we will not regret. But then if we make a mistake and we regret, this is also good. Because we can reflect on the harm and there's compunction. This is hiriotapa. If we have hiriotapa, that is our protection. And hiri is that sense of regret, reflecting, to be able to ponder wisely, why did I do that? This was acting from the habit mind. Can I be more mindful? Can I be more thoughtful? Can I be less selfish? Can I be more restrained? Can I guard the sense doors? Can I be more aware? Can I use the protection of abiding in present moment awareness in everything that we're doing? It's so simple, and yet it's so easy for us to neglect. But if we don't neglect it, then we will have joyful life and joyful result from that life. So having done that, yam katwa nanutapati, we will not regret. Because the Buddha really wanted us to get the message. I'll just read the last 8 lines. As kusa grass, when wrongly grasped, because it's sharp, will only cut into one's hand, so does the monastic life, but every life, wrongly led, indeed drag us to hellish states. The mind will not be peaceful. And then you run away, because we can't face our comrades in the holy life. We can't look them in the face if we do wrong here in this space. Think with our family, or look, this young couple, they cannot restore that beautiful love they had for each other, even though they've dedicated their life to each other. and they're living in a hellish state that they have to call up a complete stranger to come and solve their problem. Whatever deed that's slackly done, whatever we do carelessly, whatever vow is corruptly kept, if we don't keep our precepts, we corrupt not just the precept. We think this doesn't matter, but it's a corruption, it's a spoiling, it's a destruction. The holy life led in a doubtful way. It's like doubt the importance of sila, samadhi, panya. All these will never bear great fruit. It won't amount to much. So, can we be here? Can we be one with awareness? It's so simple. To be one with present moment awareness.